From the authentic soul of Bernie Siegel, MD, comes Mind Health Matters, a show that reflects Bernie's passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges, not just the physical ones, so that each person can live life fully with the understanding that, as Bernie reminds us, we only have today. Believing that we are all here to love one another, each in our own unique way, Bernie has crafted eternal truths and the timeless wisdom of the ages. Join Bernie as he shares his powerful journey through life while offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel, Lionel Ketchian, and myself, Deborah Beauvais. This is broadcast on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network, Boston and worldwide, and we are honored to be the media partner for the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. Well, we have a special show for you today. Bernie is actually going to be talking about his grandson who has just transitioned, and we'll be talking about celebrating life and death and all the lessons that we learn from our loved ones while they're here. So Bernie and Lionel, we are together. Hearts are entwined.
Yes.
Thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
One of the things... I like the introduction to this show, because, I mean, I don't have it memorized, but it really covers what we're trying to talk about
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, yeah, I keep saying, God said a perfect world is not creation, it's a magic trick that you're here to live and learn. And so you have to accept the fact that you're going to be handed problems. Yeah, you could win the lottery too, but for most people that becomes a problem. And it's just about getting ready for life, appreciating it, and, you know, doing the best you can for everybody while you're here. Because the line I always remember, the best part of a good man stays forever, for love is immortal and makes all things immortal, while hate dies every minute. That's William Saroyan. And I may add, it's interesting, when I mentioned that line to be put in a book I was writing, they said to me, it doesn't say hate dies every minute. They had older issues of the novel, and they had edited that out. But I don't think it's a bad idea to edit that out. You know, we have to understand. I find that, well, let me put it this way, because I thought it was so neat listening to something about flying off to Mars. They said you needed a certain amount of fuel in order to get there. And the fuel is heavy. So it's almost like you need fuel in order to carry the fuel to get to Mars. And one of the people came up with, instead of putting one tank on it, which would weigh a ton, why don't we put several tanks on? So as one tank empties, you'll eject it from the satellite. And then it gets lighter. And that's what allowed them to get there. By ejecting these tanks periodically, the satellite came lighter and lighter. And I thought, that's really what life is about. That when things happen, the best thing you can do is eject them. You know, don't carry them around. Don't let them drive you crazy. But I have to also say, on the other hand, all I'm looking for in people, when I say drive you crazy, is to communicate, to act like a person, to share. Because there's some people I'm trying to get in touch with who don't answer emails, don't answer phone calls, never respond. And to me, it just, that they don't have a heart, you know. I've done them favors, and I want to check with them about something, and they don't want to respond to me because they've done things to me that haven't been a favor. And on the other hand, though, if they did respond, that wouldn't mean anything to me. You know, it's when I'm not treated like a human being by them that bothers me.
And you know, Bernie,
I've learned you have to reject that stuff.
Yeah. You know, Bernie, I think you're... story with the, you know, the rockets and the booster rockets and ejection, as you call it, is a great story to remember, the whole point of, you know, what's been really going on in spirituality lately is learning to let go, letting go. So that was a case of when you let go, you can go further because you don't need that part that you
right.
let go of. And if you don't let go of it, you're really stuck because you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So letting go is really the, it's like the most just spiritual, wonderful, liberating thing we can do, but yet as human beings, we have such difficulty with it.
Yeah, I don't remember who of my friends, whether it was Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, others, who a curse can become a blessing. You know, when it's something you learn from, and I've brought this up many times, robbery that has happened to me, and I know who did the robbery, and I kept, you know, resenting and wanting to get the guy, and then I realized he's still robbing you. Look at how much time you spend every day being mad as hell at him and wishing you could catch him and get even with him. And when I had a beautiful thought about him and his family, in other words, that what he robbed from me, he used to buy lovely things for his kids and his family. And when that popped into my head, and I don't know where it came from, you know, like my angel was helping me, I'm sitting there with a big smile on my face now thinking, oh, isn't that nice? He went out and bought things for his children. Now, whether he did or not, who the hell knows? You know, he could have went and bought drugs. But every time I think of him, I ended up with a smile on my face from then on, and he went out of my life. You know, versus resenting and being bitter and wanting to catch him and, you know, fix everything. And it's nuts. And I think when you can let go and let God, then some nice things happen. And so I know I can decide what I think. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean I may not, if somebody robs me, may not talk to the police and see if we can, you know, have them catch the person and reclaim things. But if it doesn't happen, okay. I don't wake up every day wishing we could fix this and catch him, and that's nuts. Just wake up and see what you can give to others.
Absolutely. You know, Bernie, another point that you just made about we can use the power of our mind to think, and in thinking what we want to think, to putting in place what we want to think, or focusing on certain things like you just did with that illustration and story, we're really using our imagination to imagine that this was for the best, that he bought Christmas gifts for the kids.
Right.
You could also imagine that he's, you know, doing things for himself and buying drugs, but that makes you feel bad. So by choosing to imagine the best in the situation, we end up experiencing the best for us. I think this is what is behind, you know, when you say, God made a world, and it's pretty much free will. Otherwise, it would be a magic trick. But the magic trick for us is that we can imagine the best, and then we get that, and that's the world we end up living in.
Yeah. That's why I say, if people who have robbed me, I mean, let me just make it clear so they understand. I mean, I've loaned money to people to help them with their life, with their business. And in one case, this man sent me a note saying, I'll pay you back in 45 days. Well, it's a year and a half, and he doesn't even answer when I call or email him. So, you know, I can be miserable, unhappy, get a lawyer. I just want him to be a human being. You know, if he would answer the phone, give me a ring, say, I apologize, I'm really having a tough time, fine, you know, then I let go. But it's when people don't act human. I can't help it. That disturbs me. You know,
but you could also,
We
also have the ability to visualize that they are wrapped in love and they're a loving being. And if we focus and put our energy into that, who knows, maybe that person will reply and surprise us.
Well, it's almost like they reject the love. You're doing it to help them, and then they don't get back to you. You know,
and so it is. There's also divine timing, and it may just not be. So sometimes when
you
just let it go. But
one of the things I was going to say is, you know, I mentioned my wife died and our grandson Jason died Jason a week or so ago, and my wife a year and a half. But what I was thinking is, my mystic friend always calls me. And when I say that, I had to learn that she wasn't a crazy lady, because she was my patient, and said that, "I know you're not a normal doctor, so I have a message from you, somebody who died." And I thought, "Lady, are you crazy?" But she brought me a message that the person who died, his wife, said, "Oh, my God, that's what Frank said every time he left your meeting." So it was an exact quote. And from then on, you know, I accepted her messages. And I can say, honestly, that when my wife died and when Jason died, the message wasn't, "Oh, I'm so unhappy I died," and all the... The messages are always peaceful and beautiful and loving, you know? And, I mean, Jason, here he is with all his genetic defect and life. He spent so much time in the hospital and all kinds of problems and really 24-hour nursing care at home. His message,
Bernie,
was,
could you share about his disease so the listeners would understand?
Right. When he was born, it's like being in a coma. I mean, he was just unresponsive. So I was wondering, and I don't mean I was his doctor, but as a doctor, you know, could it be brain damage? Could it be this? Could it be that? We couldn't figure out what was keeping him in that state. But we kept loving him and hugging him and, you know, giving him IV and nutrition, and he kept going and got a little better. And, you know, all the things that we just did to try to keep him supported. And then it turned out we learned eventually he had what's called carboxylase pyruvate deficiency. He had a genetic problem which eliminated the mechanisms in the body that let you break down fat so it becomes nutrition for you, you know, turning fat into sugar, that kind of thing. So he was the first child who ever survived with that metabolic problem and genetic problem, because, you know, you're born, you're a newborn, you can't communicate, you can't tell people what's going on. And so they all basically starved to death because nobody knew what was happening. And somehow we kept him going. And he became really a gift to the world because our daughter took such marvelous care of him. She, I mean, just remarkable in all that she knew about him. As soon as he'd have a problem, she'd know, "This is what you need to do." This. So she talked to mothers around the world. Doctors began to learn from her and really, in a sense, started a group to treat these children and know the best way of doing it. And it's part of what's upsetting her and making it difficult now, because, you know, he was in the hospital where he died, but they weren't listening to her enough. She knew him, and if he had a symptom, she knew what to do. And you know, they're following the routine. Some of the simple things that upset her were they would often give him several pills at the same time to save their time, when what he needed was a pill, say a certain medication, every 3 or 4 hours, not at 6 hours when you're giving him other pills and putting them all together. And so it affected his body because he couldn't make up for those few hours when he didn't have what he needed. And so there was a lot of struggle and a lot of difficulties with his dying too, and we'll see what evolves from that. But, you know, it's back to hospital care and how busy people are. I don't mean that they're all crude or rude or don't care, but, you know, when you treat the disease in the system and not the person, then you're making a big mistake. So, you know, those are all things that we have to live with afterwards. But for me, I think it's also appropriate to make some trouble, you know, to speak up and say he wasn't treated properly. We've got to look into this. You don't want this to happen to another child, whatever their disease may be. And, you know, get the caretakers to say, "I'm sorry, we're learning from you." And then you know you've helped others. But they take a step back. I mean, Jason doesn't die angry at the people. And the day after he died, my mystic friend Monica called me and said, "Bernie, I got a call from Jason, and he said, tell my mother to get married." I mean, My daughter's divorced. You know, and see, that's the thing. He's not calling up and saying, tell my mother to sue those bastards for the way they treated me, and, you know, and he doesn't call up and say how angry he is because he died. Call up, tell my mother to get married, and I want to thank everybody who took care of me for all those years. There's such wonderful people who took care of me, and now I'm with my grandparents, and everything's okay. And
incredible.
That's what I think we have to remember about that. And basically, when my wife died, the message was the same. It was from her mother who spoke to Monica, saying that she's back, you know, with her parents and her family, and everything's fine. And it isn't made up stuff. I'm not getting into details, but there are things in these messages which nobody could know that Monica is, you know, then tells me about the person who called or other things. And I say called, but you get the message. I mean, I hear voices too. So it's open to all of us. But again, when you're resenting, bitter, and the water is turbulent, you can't see your reflection in the pond. You don't see any beauty. But mm-hmm. when you can quiet your mind, mm-hmm. then you can see the beauty that goes on. And I have to tell you one little anecdote that reminded me of heaven, that we live on a circle. So, you know, there's only one connection to it. And the other morning I drove around and came to the street and saw a car coming the other way. So I stopped and waved at them to go first. But they stopped and started waving at me. And so I waved back at them, and they're waving at me. And finally, I just burst out laughing and went ahead. But the next day, I saw them again. I stopped them, and I said, I got to tell you something. What we went through is just what goes on in heaven. It drives you crazy. I said, in heaven, the traffic is incredible. Because every time you come to a corner, everybody's waving, I love you, you go first. No, I love you, you go first. And nobody goes anywhere.
That's beautiful.
But, you know, for that to really happen on Earth, I was laughing so that the two of us are being so good to each other, neither mm-hmm. one of us is going anywhere.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
So, I like that.
Just keep loving, though. It makes you feel good, you know, to do that, to do a favor for somebody. And when somebody gives you some love back.
Yeah. Now, Carolyn, as a mother, losing her child, has, of course, has had meaning and purpose taken from her. So it's going to be very important at some time, at some point in time, for her to figure out, you know, where she's going to find that meaning and purpose in her life. I think that's one of the reasons that Jason, now that he's crossed over, is saying, go get married, because,
yes.
you know, he wants his mom to find meaning and purpose where he was the meaning and purpose.
Yeah.
Well said, Lionel. And she's devoted her whole life to him.
Exactly.
So she must be feeling, okay, what is my life all about now?
Yeah. Mm. Well, how many times has Bernie talked about mothers who said, I'm not going to die of the cancer that they told me I'm going to die of until my last of how many children is out of the house, and then they live until the last one is out of the house, and then they die of cancer.
Yeah.
And the men, when they can't work anymore, because the meaning isn't in people.
Yeah.
See, women, the meaning is generally in relationships. Mm-hmm. And the men, it's in doing things.
Right.
And that's mm-hmm. sad. I mean, I'd say sadder for the men because they can't work. What's the point of living? I mean, those are things people have said to me in the office. What I love is when they don't like what they're doing and they get a new job when they're told they're going to die, and then months later they're feeling wonderful and not dying anymore because now they're enjoying every day and what they're doing. And I think what we have to see our work as, and I may say doctors don't see this either. Our training sucks because it's about disease. But if what changed my life, this is a quote, because there is always meaning in your life. I mean, this woman said to me, you're a nice guy. I feel better when I'm in the office with you, but I can't take you home with me. So I need to know how to live between office visits.
Right.
And that made me think, okay, I don't have to ever feel like a failure if I just help people to live.
Yes.
you know, and that's waking me up again and again right now with my own life and all the things I was talking about, these people who I'm helping them to live, and they don't communicate, they don't show any gratitude, they don't anything. But if I'm looking for something from them, then I did it for the wrong reasons.
All right.
Yeah. Right, Bernie. Mm. Right, we really do all that and serve others for us,
my mother, my father was, because his father died when he was 12, and I won't get into all the details, but he had tuberculosis, no insurance, 6 kids. I mean, they had nothing and went through hell. So my father was always helping people. That's part of why I get in trouble. It's like I got his genes, you know. And my mother would say to him, why are you doing this? Why are you giving all the money? Why are you there? They may never pay you back. And he'd say, all right, doesn't matter. That's not my problem. I'm trying to help them. And I always say, it's amazing how many people show up at the funeral, though. You know, when you've helped everybody, they all come to say thank you. Because you have become a part of their life. But what I like is when people do say thank you and give you a hug. You know, that's what I'm looking for. Just that kind of contact and, the energy that they then give to me. It just feels so
good.
I get
that, because we all need contact and touch and communication. We need to take our first break, Bernie and Lionel. So for the listeners out there, stay with us. More with Mind Health Matters. Back in a moment.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every week, Wednesday through Friday, 12 p.m. and 12 a.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Energy flows all around and within our bodies. It's the life force that nourishes, heals, and keeps us going. So how do we replenish and improve our life force? This is what Energy Medicine Weekend is all about. Explore the life-enhancing powers of energy medicine with leaders in the field, including Donna Eden, David Feinstein, and Sue Mortar. Mention discount code DREAM for 20% off when you register for Energy Medicine Weekend at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, October 4th to 6th. Learn more at eomega.org.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, Inspiring True Stories of Healing, Gratitude, and Love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, Daily Messages of Inspiration, Hope, and Love, and Faith, Hope, and Healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Join world-renowned tarot card readers at Omega Institute this July for Masters of the Tarot, Finding Meaning in the Cards. Mary Kay Greer, Rachel Pollack, and other professional tarot readers share proven methods to give effective readings that transform lives, yours as well as your clients. To receive 20% off, mention discount code DREAM when you register for Masters of the Tarot at Omega in Rhinebeck, New York, July 19th to 21st. Learn more at eomega.org.
Adam T. Gardner here with thehumanaccelerator.org. Just wanted to let you know we've got a wonder-filled curriculum put together. The website's a gathering place for what's called our We Community. We're working to build America's medicine wheels, where you'll be able to sample the most advanced regenerative medicine and lifestyles ever known. But you don't have to wait for us to finish the building in order to begin your adventure into insights and understandings that'll be at our completed cultural center near Zion National Park. You can join the We Community for free. We've got over a dozen videos to share about us, about life, about the possibility that mankind now has to live free of all sickness and disease. That's thehumanaccelerator.org. See you there.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. You're listening and can listen to Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel, Lionel Ketchian, and myself every Wednesday through Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on the Dream Vision 7 radio network. We're syndicated with a number of other stations and can be heard anywhere you are, whether it's Europe, whether it's the USA, whether you're in your car, wherever. Now, Bernie, if you would like to save on his books and items, you can go to his son and daughter-in-law's website, which is wisdomoftheages.biz. It's B-I-Z. When cashing out, you just put code in 27 in the comment box, and you'll save 15% on his items. You can also go on his site, BernieSiegelMD.com, Siegel, S-I-E-G-E-L, BernieSiegelMD.com. And for Lionel, he runs a happiness club in Connecticut, and he also does telesummits right online, and everyone can join in with their thoughts. He always has a beautiful guest focused on happiness, and his site is happinessclub.com, just as it sounds, happinessclub.com. I wanted to thank you, Bernie, for sharing about Jason, and I'm sure Carolyn's journey is going to include letting go as far as what happened there at the hospital.
All the issues. I always say, if they'll just say to her, you know, we're sorry, and that we've learned from this experience, then I think, you know, she'll be fine with that. But when they keep saying, that's the way we do things, you know what I mean? Making excuses.
Right, they have a protocol and they're sticking to it.
Something, again, in front of me in one of my emails, if you're sick and tired of feeling isolated and disconnected from your body and you're ready to explore what it takes to heal, nourish, and transform holistically, I've got some news for you. And they're talking about a workshop. Because the sentence, this paragraph before it says, no one in the wider health community really talks about that, see, about the root cause. And when you hear just the bits and pieces, you can waste unnecessary time and energy searching for the wrong answers. And I think the problem is that the medical profession, healthcare professionals, are trained to treat a diagnosis, not a person. And that gets back to Jason again. Yes, they know he has a disease. They know he's got some, you know, liver problems, pancreas, all these things that over the 20 years have been, you know, beaten up enough by his problems. But Carolyn knew how to treat her son, you know, what was unique and different about him. So it wasn't you give this pill 8 hours. It was knowing maybe for him it's every 4 hours. I mean, I'm just making up a story in a sense, but she knew how to treat him and his experience while physicians are treating a diagnosis. And that's what Carl Jung said, God knows, maybe 100 years ago. He said the diagnosis, you know, is important to the doctor, but the key thing for the patient is the story, for it alone shows human background and human suffering, and only at that point can the doctor's therapy begin to operate. And you look at medical ads, and what do they all say? I had a sore throat. I was depressed. I went to see my doctor. He prescribed, you know, blah, blah. I feel better now. Now, I think if my house burned down and my family was killed in the fire and I went to the doctor and I said, I'm wiped out and I'm really depressed, and he said, oh, here, fill this prescription. You'll feel better.
Do you think it has improved at all, Bernie, through these?
Not much. No.
With the medical training?
No, it isn't really improving.
No. They don't see the person.
Technology, yeah. You know, what they talk about which specialty you want and what's going on. And again, that fascinates me too, because the suicide rate in doctors is higher than the general population. And the ones where it's highest are things like anesthesia, an anesthesiologist, I think the psychiatrists are psychiatrists, a lot of them, because they have their own troubles. So they've got a higher suicide rate. But, you know, I thought about it. If I said I want to be a doctor and then I become an anesthesiologist, what the hell am I doing? You know, I'm putting people on the table and I put them to sleep. Now, I know some very nice anesthesiologists, don't get me wrong, who, you know, before surgery, talk to patients, may visit them in their hospital room, you know, and know them as a person. But a lot of them, no, here, I'll check your blood pressure, your pulse, okay, lie down, and they're asleep. That's not taking care of anybody. I mean, that's, yes, that's taking care of them technically and giving them the right amount of drugs and so forth, but it's a different world. And that's why, I mean, there were a lot of anesthesiologists and medical students who loved being in the operating room with me because, and some of them were going to be psychiatrists and they knew I wasn't normal and they loved being with me and the experience of Crazy Siegel talking to people under anesthesia, playing music in the operating room. There was one day, this really happened. See, this is why you talk about life and death and spirit. Patient I was operated on, he had some perforated intestine, was very sick, and we were operating and his heart stopped. And the anesthesiologist finally said to me, I can't get it going again, I can't. He said, I'm calling for Gurney to take him to the morgue. And Crazy Siegel, I stepped back from the operating table, look up and said, Roger, it's not your time yet, come on back. What do you think happened? His heart started beating again.
That's great.
And, you know, I figured, what do I got to lose, you know? Mm-hmm. And the anesthesiologist looked at me and said, I love working with you. And he survived and made it. But, you know, why would I say something like that? Because I'm nuts. And I figure if his spirit is sitting up there looking down at us, what have I got to lose by telling him to come back? And so, you know, many of my patients are the ones who taught me about that so-called spirit world. You know, when you have blind patients who have to be resuscitated and have a near-death experience, they're blind, remember. But when they're out of the body, you're not blind anymore. So when this fellow was resuscitated and started to say, oh my, I was out of my body, I could see, and his wife, honey, you're crazy. Stop. Don't talk like that. And the doctor, he said, tell the doctor his pen is under the bed. It fell out of his pocket while he was working on me. And honey, you're wearing a green dress and they told you to sit in that chair in the corner. And then the wife's eyes almost popped out of her head because how could he know? But, you know, that's what made people into believers because they knew I would accept whatever they were saying and they weren't afraid to share it with others and be told, you know, you're crazy, that's your imagination, it can't happen. And it does. Our lives are really amazing. And I really feel truly we're recycled. Because when I almost died as a four-year-old near death, choking on a toy, even as a four-year-old, what came to me was, you're not your body. Because I never felt like I was dying. Because I'm out of my body, you know, in the room, so to speak. And I felt that the real problem is the body. That's what's dying, and that I'm not my body. I could see, think, feel, all that.
So when you say the problem is I'm nuts, you've always got to add to that. You're leaving something out. Yes, you're nuts, but it works. That's the part you're leaving out. It works. It doesn't matter how nuts you are.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I often said, I mean, we can't explain creation. I love reading The Science of Mind, The Science of God, all these different books that are written about, you know, aspects of creation that are so mystical. But you can't really explain it. You know, if you said, how the hell did we manage to do this? Once it got started, you could say this happened and then water came and we could do this and that. But still, there's no explanation. And I don't think we'll ever have an answer where the intelligence and the energy and the consciousness and the love, you know, where did they all come from? Who made them? How did they get here? How did they do this? It's just incredible. Because, I mean, some of the things, that's why when I read these books, that if there weren't other planets floating around, the Earth could be hit by many, you know, enormous meteorites and things and be blown away. But because everything is together, it's like coordinated, and we're protected by them too. They attract things that might blow the Earth apart. And it's just a fascinating, unexplainable situation. And the bodies, I think, as I said, are given to us. They're our tools, so we can do things. I always say, we're here to be God's instrument, so you get a body. When the body dies, then you move on, get another one, and keep going. And do
the Earth can't be hit by meteorites, well, big ones that can destroy us, only because of Bernie's law of the universe, your law. Your law says there are no coincidences, so there's something much more intelligent at work preventing something like that, because what would be the point of having creation if there was no, you know...
Yeah.
The intelligence that created this perfection is still working to, you know, to continue it.
Yeah. I mean, we're part of the problem now, you know,
to become
loving of each other.
Yeah.
You know, differences are important, you know, for recognition. But, you know, it always impressed me when the story about a tiger who dies giving birth and the goat she was chasing, you know, they don't come over and stamp on her baby and say, we'll kill that kid because she was going to kill us. They raised the tiger as a goat. I mean, he thinks he's a goat. But it's a little story that Joseph Campbell tells. But just the fact that you'd think of these goats coming over and say, oh, don't let the baby die. Come on. You know, let's feed it and nourish it. And you see this all the time when they put pictures on the internet, you know, of a baby tiger nursing on a goat. You'd say, well, isn't that mother afraid of this thing? But no, they're more concerned with loving it than they are, you know, of starving it or getting even with tigers for killing goats and things like that. It's just beautiful. And the animals are our teachers. And they accept each other and their differences. And here we are fighting wars and cursing each other and telling what's wrong with you. And it's just the body. I always say, as a surgeon, we're all the same color inside. Yeah, I put up one of the paintings I did years ago was of two naked babies. One is black, one is white. And they're sitting there touching each other. And the painting is hung in a assisted living facility right now. I brought them some to put in their lobby. But, you know, here are these two beautiful kids. They don't see themselves as different. They know they're the same inside. Their hearts are the same color. And that's something they didn't print my letters to the editor, all of them, that I send in. But I said, what I would do is bring Donald Trump a photograph and say, Donald, this is either a photograph of you or a black person, a man or a woman, and you can't tell what sex, what color, who it is. What's it a picture of? And I don't know if he'd come up with the right answer or look at me and say, what are you talking about? You take a picture of me and I can't tell who it is, what it is. But it's a picture of our heart. You know, you hold a picture of somebody's heart up and say, what race, religion, sex, nationality are they? And they look at you, well, I don't know. How can you tell?
Right.
Yeah. But we got to remember that. And the kids know it. That's the sad part. As they grow up, their brains are manipulated. But when I ask those questions to kids in third, fourth, fifth grade, and they all immediately point to their insides. They take their finger. I can't help but do it while I say that to you. And they tap their chest, you know, right over their heart when I say, we're all the same. And they immediately do that. And adults look at you like you're nuts. Where are we all the same? What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. And hatred and division is taught.
Yeah.
Kids are not born that way. Well, we are up on our next break. We'll be back, and stay with us, everyone.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every week, Wednesday through Friday, 12 p.m. and 12 a.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega's Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. Stroll through the garden, relax by the lake, or try a daily yoga or movement class. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and faith, hope, and healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
After narrowly surviving the attack on Sandy Hook Elementary, first grade teacher Caitlin Royd DeBellis was left searching for answers that would never come. Eventually, she chose to focus on questions that could be answered. How do I make sure this tragedy doesn't define us? How do we get our control back? Those two questions led her to found the 501c3 nonprofit organization Classes for Classes. When gifts poured into their classroom, she decided they would help someone else by paying it forward and being kind. This developed into a social network which allows K-8 classrooms to connect so that every student in the United States can learn these crucial lessons. Classes for Classes' mission is to build students' social-emotional intelligence by connecting them to care. All C4C projects are crowdfunded. Any teacher in the U.S. can visit classesforclasses.org. That's classes, the number 4, classes.org. Sign up today.
Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. Again, if you'd like to get in touch with Bernie, his site is Bernie Siegel, SIEGELMD.com. Bernie, I have a question for you. When you return into another body, would you like to be a woman, or who would you like to be?
I don't know if we have a choice. But I don't know. I'm so used to being a male, I think I probably would. I don't know if I could go through giving birth.
Yeah.
I mean, watch my wife have three kids and then twins. Oh, brother.
Right.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe.
But I'll tell you, what was funny with the last ones. No, I guess it was the third one. They had a wonderful caterer. It was out in Pittsburgh, feeding everybody in the hospital. And I couldn't get her to come home after she gave birth because the meals were so good. And, you know, she had a private room. And, oh, boy. Mm. And I told her, you know, because I was working at the Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh. I said, if you don't come home, I can't come and get you for another week. That didn't bother her.
That's cute.
You know, because if I had to have a day off in order to go and get her. Mm-hmm. It was funny. But now... I was going to say something. I can't even remember. Oh, I know what it was. Let me tell you a story, because I love my William Saroy and all his stories. But one of them is called The Young Man on the Flying Trapeze. And because when you talk about, you know, what death also means to you personally, and this is a young man who's dying and sick and no money, and he ends up in some hotel room lying on the bed. And the last words in the story are, he becomes dreamless, unalive, and perfect. Mm. See, the clouds circle away. That's why the young man on the flying trapeze. And he's got a trapeze to heaven. He becomes dreamless, unalive, and perfect. And boy, see, that's the part gets me. Fiction writers, I always say, know the truth. They're coming from their consciousness. they're not thinking, if I would put it that way. They're coming from a greater wisdom. And when he comes up with those three words, dreamless, unalive, perfect, and that's exactly what people feel. So Jason is perfect again. I can tell you that. He doesn't have a genetic defect in heaven. I've seen patients who had lost arms and legs draw pictures for me and put the arms and legs back on. And I knew they were saying, I'm going to die shortly and be perfect again. Hmm. And because, you know, if you've lived for 20 years without an arm, why would you put it in a drawing of yourself? So there was something there, a deeper wisdom and knowledge. And I'd say again, all those who have died have left their bodies and are perfect again. So don't be afraid of that. You don't take your troubles with you.
Yeah, that's great. So, Bernie, after the meeting, the radio show today, I understand you have an ECAP meeting this afternoon. That's wonderful.
Yep, we keep going. I've been doing that since, I guess, late 1970s. Well, I mentioned it earlier in this show that I need to know how to live between office visits.
Sure.
So that was one of the things I did. I started a group to try to help people live.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was doing. I'm a surgeon, you know, not a psychiatrist. But I just felt I had to try to help people. And they became my teachers. Because the ones who show up were survivors. That's something I learned. If they showed up at the meeting, they were more likely to have a longer survival than their doctor predicted, because they were willing to participate, look at life, change things, do things, you know, not worry about being a failure. And when people said, oh, you want me to read a book, you want me to draw your picture, I don't know if I have time, I'm not an artist, that's when I realized, and see, and the psychiatrists again knew this, what they call immune competent personality, one of them labeled it, they knew more about survival behavior than surgeons and oncologists and internists and cardiologists, because they were treating people in a different way, not just their disease.
Mm-hmm.
So what I found, and again, going back to medicine again, so upsetting was in medical journals, when I would try to get articles published, you'd get back a note saying, it's interesting, but it's not appropriate. When you sent it to a psychiatry journal, it would come back saying it's appropriate, but isn't interesting. We know all this. That's what really bothered me, that we're not getting integrated medical education. You see, you're a body doctor, you're a, you know, an emotional head doctor, but you can't separate your mind and your body. And I always say, look at Monday morning, more heart attacks, strokes, suicides, illnesses.
Right.
So, and now we're getting to more science. Books with, you know, about your life. Well, here's one right on my, well, this is from Wayne Dyer. You are what you think, sitting here. But there are others also about your life and your genes, you know, how you can't separate them.
Right.
That what you're thinking affects the genes. And I always say, identical twins don't get the same thing the same day of their life. It has so much to do with what their emotional lives are like. Even though their bodies are similar, what messages are their bodies getting? So if one is a happy kid living her authentic life, and the other one feels like, well, I got to make mommy and daddy happy because I have a crazy sister, her body feeling about life. And I'd say to people over and over again, love your life, love your body.
You know, as it is.
Yeah, I tell a lot of stories, but I don't remember what stories I tell on this show or when I'm out lecturing. But when you're dying with a deformed body because you had polio as a kid and now you have a neurological disease, and you lie down naked in front of a mirror so you don't die hating your body. This was a young woman who really said, I hate my body. But she said, I don't want to die hating it, so I'm lying here naked, loving it. And her disease went into remission, and she didn't die. And I've seen others with such courage because of their neurological diseases. I had a picture that one of them sent to me, and I said, what happened? Was your house robbed? Because it was a picture of her tied in a chair and gagged. And I thought, what the hell's going on? And she said, no, no, no. She said, I'm typing my autobiography. So I cover my mouth so I don't drool on the keys. And I'm tied in the chair so I don't fall out. She had a neurological disease. And so she typed her whole autobiography with her nose sitting in front of the typewriter.
Goodness.
This
is
before the computer, too. You know, just a regular typewriter. But that's the courage, you know. And, of course, she didn't die when she was supposed to either. Just to have the courage to sit there and do that and tell her story. And, you know, I learned from all these people. And my crazy sense of humor, I would get them laughing, too. You know, if somebody like Jason didn't have control of himself or his body, really. And I've had other people that I've been helping with problems like that. And one of them said, gee, I wish I could drive a car. You know, just the experience of driving a car. So I told her parents, I'm going to have her drive a car. And they looked at me like, are you out of your mind? You know, the two of you will end up in an accident. What's going to happen to you? But I said, look, I'll take her to, you know, an empty parking lot and let her sit behind the wheel and drive the car. It doesn't matter which way she goes. There's nobody there, you know, to have an accident with.
Yeah.
But the smile on her face was so beautiful, you know. I'm going to drive a car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, her parents thought I should be locked up, you know, that I was a danger to her and to myself. But it's just those simple little things, you know, you can get people to smile and think about life in a different way.
You know,
and
Bernie,
I have to keep working on it, too, all the
time.
Yeah,
of course. You know, Bernie, one of the things that's fascinating about you, other than all the other things that you do for everyone, but they stem from, you know, certain strengths that you seem to have, and they're very, very simple. It's just that we don't, not most people don't develop these strengths, but you're very observant, and you listen, but you're not listening from an ego. You're listening completely, you're putting yourself completely in the other person, and you're gaining, some information that
right.
you can translate to them how to use that for their own good.
Yeah, that was something I learned in two ways. One was from Helen Keller, who taught me that deafness is darker by far than blindness, and that when you listen to people, they said, thank you, that's been a wonderful conversation. And literally, I had not said a single word, but I realized that they were hearing themselves, that they didn't realize they were talking to themselves, and I got credit for what they came up with.
Right.
And you know, that when you listened, as I say, and people heard, then they knew what they needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether it was dealing with cancer and treatment or their family at home, so I've learned, just keep listening and listen to yourself. Because I'm still reading, sitting right next to me, something I found as I was going through the house cleaning it up since my wife died. And it's a journal. I just opened it to August 13th, which is today. I had looked at it before. But it says, divorce never, murder often. Oh, I love that comment. I'm sure that's, you know, something that my wife might have felt from me driving her crazy. But this is from 1996. So that was written, where are we, 2019? Wow, like 25 years ago. And below it is a statement, deep knowing meaning of self. And you know, I would just scribble things that meant something to me. Yeah, and here's another one. The past is the present and the future, isn't it?
Mm, true.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, make notes. Keep track of what you're feeling. Why do we make it so hard to be happy? Just love. You know, and then the last words are just love.
Just love. Mm.
Yeah,
and
when you're doing that,
it all comes back to love.
Yeah, when you go out of the house and say, you know, how can I make somebody happy today? You'll have a very different day.
Yeah, that's so true.
I just love getting people to laugh with my crazy, funny behavior, and I know that when they see me again, they feel better because they remember my crazy behavior before.
Yeah,
I was just thinking. I took what looked like a stool sample to the veterinarian on one of our cats, and I came in, I said, you know, I have to have the stool specimen checked. And I reach in my pocket and I pull this thing out in my hand, and I hold it out to the technician, and she looked at me across the counter like, my God, what psychotic problem does he have that I'm supposed to take this, you know, the poop in my hand to take it, you know, and test. So she came back with a little container and said, here, put it in this. And I laughed. I said, I was just teasing you. Here it is. And I took it out of my pocket in a little bag. But she got in touch with me and said,
yes,
I want to thank you. Because I went home and I told my family the story about what happened in the office. And they were all laughing. And I want to thank you. So that simple thing, crazy thing I did, which is sort of normal craziness for me, made a family happier that day.
Yes.
And I'd say, keep thinking about it. If you could get somebody to smile or laugh, what a difference.
Yeah. That would be. And you know, Deborah, tonight we have a Happiness Club dinner for about 30 people at a nice restaurant. Bernie's coming with Carolyn. And the beautiful thing, yeah, and a beautiful thing about that is Bernie and Carolyn are just going to spark everybody else and share their happiness. I mean, it's the two of them are like that. And, it's not only a gift for everyone else, but it's a gift for each of them, because the more you can make other people happy, and as Bernie said, you focus on others, there goes your happiness straight up.
Yeah, I realized how much effect the audience has on you. You know, before I knew about speaking, you know, you'd get up on the stage worrying, I mean, am I going to say the right thing? Will I make people happy? And I realized how much of it was the audience, that when they were really listening, versus a room full of doctors judging you, you know.
We need to go, Bernie.
Yeah.
The hour has just flown by.
All right.
So I thank you both for a beautiful episode.
Thank you, Deborah. Thank you, Bernie.
Thank you, and enjoy your dinner this evening.
We will.
Thank you.
All wrapped in love.
Join us next time on Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Until then, remember, be fully engaged in life, loving every moment as your unique self. In going deep within to discover ourselves, we can also discover self-love. Then, when we let our hearts make up our minds, we connect what our bodies do so well to the power of love. We can boost our ability to grow and heal along with our self-esteem. The sense of empowerment that results from this mind-body connection is one related to self-induced healing. When you add spirit to that connection, making a mind-body-spirit connection, you nourish your soul. For more insight, go to BernieSiegelMD.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.